a few times one of my colleagues would come to take a gym class and and they would walk in and they'd be like, what are you doing here?
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Tiffany.
You know, in faculty enrichment, where we work, Brad and I, he knows I call him a legend. He's iconic. But it's interesting because in conversations, he actually says, Catherine Sanderson, our guest today, is legend and iconic. So this is really neat for me to invite a legend on who actually identifies their very own legend in Catherine.
Catherine A. Sanderson currently serves as the Poehler Family Professor and Chair of Psychology at Amherst College. She received a bachelor's degree in psychology, specializing in health and development from Stanford University, and received both master's and doctoral degrees in psychology from Princeton University. Her research has received grant funding from the National Science Foundation and the National Institute of Health. Catherine has published over 25 journal articles and book chapters, in addition to 4 college textbooks, middle school, high school health textbooks, and the Introduction to Psychology course for the Great Courses. In 2012, she was named as one of the country's top 300 professors by the Princeton Review. Catherine has written trade books on parenting and how mindset influences happiness, health, and even how long we live. Her latest trade book, published in North America as Why We Act, Turning Bystanders into Moral Rebels, and internationally as The Bystander Effect, The Psychology of Courage and Inaction, examines why good people so often stay silent or do nothing in the face of wrongdoing. For a preview of the topics addressed in this book, watch Catherine's TEDx talk on the psychology of inaction, which describes the factors that contribute to inaction and provides strategies we can all use to help people act, even when those around them are not. She speaks regularly for public and corporate audiences on topics such as the science of happiness, the power of emotional intelligence, the art of aging well, and the psychology of courage and inaction. These talks have been featured in numerous mainstream media outlets, including the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, USA Today, The Atlantic, CNN, and CBS Sunday Morning with Jane Pauley. She also writes a weekly blog for Psychology Today, Norms Matter, that examines the power of social influence on virtually all aspects of our lives. Catherine, welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for our conversation.
We always start the show with some get to know you questions, and I have been eager to get to know you. I know Brad's had a chance in the past as you've done some work together, so I'm going to kick it off on the get to know you section. Let's say it's your 8th grade yearbook. What would you write?
So I love that question, in part because, in fact, the reason that Brad and I know each other is because of my book writing and the collaboration that Brad and I are doing together. So my literally the most formative teacher that I ever had was actually my 7th and 8th grade English teacher. And so whenever I think about 8th grade, I think about Mr. Doherty. And Mr. Doherty had been in World War II. This is going to date me now in terms of how old I am. But so he had been in World War II. And he had lost his right arm picking up a grenade. So he had a stump on his right arm. And he had this like giant like metal hook that strapped around his whole body. And I went to public school. This is going to be relevant in a minute. He smoked throughout the entire day, like in the classroom.
So what?
This is going to be so weird for students listening to it. People listening to it are younger. But again, this was like in like 1980, 81, 82. He's in the classroom. I mean, this was a time at which, you know, you could buy a ticket on an airplane, smoking or non-smoking, and, you know, smoke in restaurants. So it's just a different time. But, so that always dates me. So he smoked all day long in the classroom. He had this like stump, this you know, hook. So he was terrifying. But here's the thing about Mr. Doherty. I am going to loop back to a point here. here's the thing about Mr. Doherty. Every single paper I did for his class for 2 years, he was my English teacher for 2 years, seventh and eighth grade, he covered in red. And he said, revise, unpack, detail, conclusion, clarity. And Mr. Doherty taught me how to write. So
awesome.
I am here with you today talking on this podcast because I write. And so I love the opportunity to share. So for me, what I would write in my eighth grade yearbook is, thank you, Mr. Doherty, for being a life-changing person in that sense.
That is a great story. Great story.
Yes. We just had a podcast guest on just a few weeks ago that has their own podcast called Because of a Teacher. And invites people to share about teachers that have impacted them. And I feel like the story, if we could just kind of cut and paste that into his podcast, it'd be a perfect fit.
Well, I now give all of my college students the opportunity to turn in a draft of their papers and I comment on it. And overwhelmingly, they say, that was so nice of you and so helpful. And what I say is, it was done to me, right? Like I am paying on. Yeah. And every time I do it, I think of Mr. Doherty.
That is wonderful. Wonderful. So speaking of your students, what might be something that your students would find hard to believe about you?
So this is actually a little bit of a sadness that I have because it's changed in my life since the pandemic. But when I was starting graduate school, I was married and my husband was in law school and we did not have very much money, as you know, people don't have when they're in school, and law school is expensive. So I had a part-time job while I was, again, trying to get my degree done, teaching aerobics. So literally, like, you know, spandex, you know, whatever. And so I was always like, well, I'll just teach aerobics, you know, to pay the bills, and then I'll eventually get my degree and I'll stop teaching. But by the time I got my degree, I was like, you know what? I kind of like teaching aerobics because I get and I get, you know, whatever. Again, it was like, so here's what's amazing. I have taught aerobics right up until the start of the pandemic. So the last time I taught was actually Sunday, March 15th. I remember I actually took a picture of the studio because the gym announced they were closing. And I just gathered all my women and I was just like, I want to just take a picture. And I have that picture because again, I'm in Massachusetts. The gym has not, you know, they're not returning to in-person classes, you know, masks or whatever. And so I actually like super miss it. But so that's what I think is surprising is that I taught aerobics right up until, you know, 18 months ago or something. And what's funny is that, so my name, of course, is Catherine Sanderson. At the gym, I go by Kathy. So people at the gym.
Yes.
So I have like kind of an alias. Anyway, so that is something that my students are always like, what do you mean you teach aerobics? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I do. I teach aerobics. So I can't actually say I teach aerobics, but I think many of them would be surprised that I was teaching aerobics right up until the shutdown. So March 15 was my last day.
I love that.
I'm going to say right now, Catherine is two for two with the greatest stories we've had on this podcast.
I know. No. I'm also just imagining her going to the grocery store as Kathy. Have you ever, or as your alter ego kind of, I know with the gym women that you're describing, I remember being dressed up after work, going into the grocery store and running into them. And they don't recognize you because you're not in your gym gear. And they're like, oh, wow, you're so professional. And you think, I didn't even think I was capable of being professional. You know, they don't recognize you without
I will tell you, the worst part actually was kind of like the opposite of that, is that a few times one of my colleagues would come to take a gym class. Yeah. And they would walk in and they'd be like, what are you doing here? And that was always like the most awkward because, you know, I'd be like, yeah, this is my job. And then I remember one time there was a young woman. I think she was in her first or second year at my school. And she walked in and she was like, what are you doing here? Like she was very, and then I felt like she would think that my job paid so poorly that I had to like supplement it by teaching. But really, you shouldn't work there because you're not going to make enough money. You're going to have to, you know, have this part-time job. So isn't that funny?
That's awesome. Okay, this is by far the most important question that we ask.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Your favorite musical genre?
Yeah, so I gotta say, I'm gonna be a total fail on this because I asked my husband last night, I was like, what should I say? And he was like, you don't know anything about music and you never listen to music. You're gonna really do badly at that question. So this is what I'm gonna say. I have no favorite musical genre. That's the short answer. But the slightly longer answer is that the music I like, and this actually relates to psychology, you know, which again is my field. The music that I like connects to me with a memory. And so the music for me is meaningful, but it's not a genre. It's like episodic. So I remember when my husband and I were celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, we took a trip to St. Thomas and we went on like one of those, you know, snorkel boats that, you know, goes around. And the person on the boat was playing music, an album by David Gray, who is a singer I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. And to this day, that is one of my favorite albums because, but not, I mean, I do like David Gray, but what I really like is it takes me back to that moment. My husband and I during the pandemic, watched pretty addictively, you know, binge watched a lot of shows. And, one of them was Schitt's Creek and the song, A Little Bit Alexis. I don't know if you know that song, but so we pretty regularly listen to that. Again, it reminds me of, you know, sort of the fun of that show. And then another one is I really liked, the I think it's a Showtime drama, The Affair, and their very last episode, their conclusion, they have this wonderful sort of flash mob to a song that's like The Hole of the Moon. And so again, for me, those songs, it's not a genre, but those songs really kind of take me back to a moment. And so it feels really meaningful.
I love it.
That is another great answer.
Yes.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, you got to mess up somewhere. I'm going to try. No, I'm not going to try to make you mess up. Let's go out to dinner. What is your go-to food preference?
Mexican. I think you cannot go wrong with Mexican. You cannot go wrong with, you know, cheese. You cannot go wrong with guacamole. You cannot go wrong with chips. You cannot go wrong with a margarita. I think it's an impossible food to mess up. You can, you know, literally go anywhere and have Mexican and it's always good.
Very good.
That is good.
So as we talk further, our listeners are going to become keenly aware of how busy you are all the time and how productive you are. So we're not convinced you ever have free time. But if you do, what might we find you doing?
So I will say that I think what I'm very good at is I'm pretty good at multitasking, and I'm pretty good at also making use of very small moments of time. You know, so I think that I'm good at those things. And that, frankly, leaves me with some free time. So I will say, you know, in all honesty, I am like super addicted to reality TV dating shows. I watch The Bachelor, I watch The Bachelorette, I watch Island, I watch Love is Blind. I mean, so Bachelor in Paradise, I watch all of those. And frankly, I use them in my teaching. I teach a class in close relationships. I can regularly make references in that way. So I watch a lot of reality TV. And the other thing which I do, which is one of the reasons I was so excited with this invitation to talk, is that I love podcasts. I super love podcasts. Yeah. I listen to them when I'm driving, when I'm washing the dishes, when I'm folding laundry. Frankly, the opportunity to help produce podcast content feels to me like giving back.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Wow.
Are you a live tweeter too with the shows when you're watching the shows? Do you engage at all on social media or anything?
I don't, only because I often don't watch live. You know, I often recorded, and so I sort of, and so then I actually stay away from social media because I don't want a spoiler. Like, I don't want to know.
That's true.
And so I stay away because often it's you know, I'm watching it, you know, sometimes
you're behind.
I'm behind, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
this has been such an enlightening experience for me. Catherine and I have only spoken in meetings with editors and publishers. So I am learning lots of new things about you today. Yeah. This is great.
I often don't lead with the I teach aerobics, you know, Brad, and somebody's getting to know me. So there you go. Yeah.
Your secret is good with us.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, you are an incredibly productive author, speaker, teacher, also aerobics instructor. How do you manage your time so effectively? And you've said you multitask. But, you know, beyond the teaching and the academic field, how do you go above and beyond with the writing and the speaking?
So thank you for that question. And so what I will say is interesting is that for me, the writing and speaking and research all aren't different things, right? So I'm writing, but then I use that in my teaching. Or I'm writing something and I use it in my speaking. So I am a better professor because I'm teaching to general audiences who are not specialized in psychology. And that again makes me better able to write about concepts where I think, you know, students really wouldn't get that. I need to come up with a different example. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the writing and the speaking and the teaching are all kind of the same thing because they're all about taking complicated theory and research and empirical findings in my field and translating them into ways that my first year students can understand, that general audiences of smart adults, but who don't have background in psychology can understand. And again, writing textbooks, writing popular press books, all of those basically are the same skill. I'm just sort of outputting it in a different way.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
They all tie together.
They do. They absolutely do. So it doesn't, although it's three different things, it really feels like one thing. It really feels like one thing.
Mm-hmm. We are thankful for the opportunity that we've had to speak with Catherine today, but we're going to be back next week for part two. So tell your friends about this episode. Tell them to come back next week for part two. And also join us and review the subsequent resources on our website, digitaltolearn.com with a numerical two. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.